obviously, Gord, this is something your club prepared for.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there was any question at the end of the year that Prince was going to move on. It was just a matter of where and for how long, and today, obviously, we found that out. But, you know, he is a player of stature, an important part of what we've accomplished here in Milwaukee over the last 5 years, and it's hard to say we're not going to miss him because clearly it's hard to replace your number four hitter. But I think Doug Melvin's done a great job over the offseason trying to spread the offense through the lineup as opposed to relying on that 1-2 punch that we have over the last couple of years. And certainly we wish Prince well.
Prince was a type A free agent. So your club will get Detroit's first round pick in the 2012 draft, 27th overall, plus a sandwich pick between the first and second rounds. Because you've already owned the 28th overall pick by virtue of your 2011 regular season record, you will own back-to-back selections in next year's first round. That's a pretty decent consolation prize.
Silver lining, of course, yeah. To have three picks in the top 38 is going to help us. It's not something we've been able to get a lot of extra picks through the years through the compensation system. And probably as the new collective bargaining agreement comes into play, that's going to be less and less likely the case. So we're fortunate enough to get a couple of extra picks here, and hopefully our scouts can make the right choice and hopefully rebuild our minor league system.
Did you and the club, Gord, have much dialogue this offseason with Prince and his camp?
We had ongoing negotiations with Scott Boras on other players, but not particularly on Prince. He kept us informed as to what was going on. He maintained all through the offseason, and clearly over the last couple of weeks there were some doubts, but he maintained all through the offseason he was going to get a long-term deal for significant dollars. And, you know, a year ago we had made a multi-year offer, and we didn't get make any headway at that time. So we thought our chances of retaining him were slight, and, you know, as things have kind of wound down here the last couple of weeks. Maybe there was some thought you'd be able to do a shorter deal and he would wait for better opportunities in the near future. But you know, obviously the Tigers thought differently and stepped up today and made a tremendous offer.
It doesn't sound like this would have been the case, but I want to ask, was there ever any talk whatsoever about a much shorter contract?
One, the meeting in passing, it was suggested that we should look at maybe even a one-year deal. And you know, Scott is clearly one of the better negotiators in the business. So he'd entertain it, but it would have to be at an astronomical number. So in other words, he said, no, that's not something we're going to do. But because he also represented Francisco Rodriguez with us, there was ongoing dialogue almost all winter, and we were up to date on everything and just... You know, but I will say there was no speculation on Detroit, so that kind of came out of, pardon the pun, left field.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well put. I was going to ask if you had at all expected Detroit to step up the way they did. Obviously, they had to fill a need left when Victor Martinez tore his hamstring, and when that news came about last week, Gord, I kind of thrown out that possibility. You know, some of the writers around Major League Baseball, and they said, "Man, you know, it's more likely that Detroit's going to go out and sign a veteran for 1 year to fill a DH slot, maybe play a bit of first base." But nobody expected Detroit would go out and sign someone, this being a Prince Fielder, to a long-term deal the way they did.
No, and even David Dombrowski, the club president and GM, stated the same thing. So I can only speculate that as they thought about it over the last week and they said, you know, we're not going to get the kind of player we want on the short term. And here's a guy that has some attachment to Detroit. His father played there. He grew up there. And, you know, Mr. Ilitch has handled his sports clubs in this manner. He did the same thing with the Red Wings. He's done the same thing now with the Tigers. Is you get the best talent you can and you try to win. And clearly that's what they're doing.
Gord Ash is the vice president, assistant GM with the Milwaukee Brewers, joining us on Sportsnet tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Jeff Sambit. So, Gord, there has to be a part of you that's happy that he signed for the club that's outside your division and outside your league.
Well, no doubt about it. But at the same time, when you know you lose a Prince Fielder out of the league and a Pujols out of the league, out of our division, That's not good for the National League. Some of your better, younger players are departing and going to the other league. It's tough for the fans. It's tough for the quality of play. And, of course, now the All-Star game, as we know, means something. And both of those guys were integral in bringing the home field advantage to the National League. So you're going to miss them from that front. And it's always a great joy to watch in person the better players in the game. And, you know, we got spoiled with our rivalry with St. Louis, seeing them play 18, 19 times a year. And, you know, they were hard-fought games. And he's going to be missed from just a truly entertainment point of view. He's not going to be missed facing in the lineup, no question about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's also kind of a romantic notion that Prince goes to Detroit, of course, a city where his dad played so well in.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there is a connection there. It was at the other ballpark, and this will be different for him in that regard. But, you know, his father was well-respected and well-loved in Detroit, and Prince set some of his own news there, hitting a ball at the Tiger Stadium when he was a 12 or 13-year-old. So, you know, this is a player they have some connection to, and, you know, it's interesting to see it come full circle now.
You know, Gordon, 9 years, that's a long contract for any player. And I know Albert Pujols got 10. But your thoughts on a deal that long for Prince or for anyone for that matter?
Well, you know, when I was with the Blue Jays, we had very rigid policy, no more than three for players and pitchers. And it worked for us at the time. I think it kept us out of trouble a little bit as the contract started to extend. Even the last big contract that was done there when I was there was Delgado. It was a lot of money, but it was still only 4 years. And I think when you get yourself in trouble, because nobody is that smart to know what's going to happen 6, 7, 8, 9 years out. So, you know, it's a risk, clearly a risk, and clearly there's going to be performance at the front end of the contract, and you take your chances on the back end of the contract with some level of performance. The Yankees are even seeing that on as great a player as A-Rod is, you know, through injuries and so on. They probably aren't getting what they hoped they would get at this stage of the contract, and that one still has a long way to go.
You know, you talked about the Blue Jays and the parameters with which they like to hand out a contract. You talked about it at the time that you were here being around 3 years, and now that talk is around five with the Toronto Blue Jays. Is there kind of like a soft rule put in place in Milwaukee, a belief as to, you know, what would be the max contract in terms of years that you would give out?
Well, we've done five here, and we've done five with our younger players, you know, trying to buy out years of arbitration, maybe the first couple of years of free agency. We did offer Prince beyond that, and I would look at that as an exception. We offered Ryan Braun beyond that as well. But again, at the prime of his career, I think there's limited risk on that because, of course, if you're going to do that, you're also looking for a discount on the dollars. And, you know, in the Fielder contract, in the Pujols contract, they not only got length, but they got top dollar. And so they scored on that both ways.
Was there a part of you, Gord, that felt that Prince might end up in Toronto?
You know, it was hard to say. I mean, we heard Texas for the longest time. We heard Washington for the longest time. The person that drafted him and signed him originally in Milwaukee, Jack Cerincic in Seattle. So we heard that a little bit. So, you know, I think that, you know, knowing what the Blue Jays don't want to do in terms of contracts of 9 and 10 years, I didn't really think that was viable. But as the lack of a deal became more the story over the last month, then maybe it became more of a possibility. But I have no insight into that whatsoever.
Since 2005, Prince Fielder has hit 230 home runs, drove in 656 runs, and had a career batting average of .282. He's missed one game in the past three seasons. Gordash, how do you look back at Prince's time in Milwaukee?
Well, he's certainly one of the preeminent building blocks here for our success. I mean, we came out of the basement in the middle 2000s, and he was a big part of why we were able to do that, along with Ricky Weeks and Ryan Braun. You know, a guy that loves to play, hated to come out of spring training games, never mind regular season games, played every inning of every game last year, loves to compete, very passionate about what he does, a great hitter, not just a power hitter, but a great hitter, a solid run producer. Not best defender. He knows that. He works at it. He's got pretty good hands. The one part of this I'd be interested to see how it plays out is he's never been one to like the DH spot. So we'll see how that plays out because he really prefers to be in the field. And I'm sure that he's gotten some assurances that that will be the case. But Prince, we're going to miss him in Milwaukee, no question about it. It was a good situation for him. He enjoyed playing here. And to see him grow up in the organization and get all, one game away from the World Series last year was certainly fun to watch. And we're going to do our best, as Doug has done this year. Aramis Ramirez is hopefully going to give us some offense at third base to make up for what we've lost at first base. So hopefully it's a good match and we can continue to compete in this division.
Gord, I have to ask, while we have you, your National League MVP Ryan Braun is disputing positive test results of a banned substance. The hearing is later this month, is it not?
You know what? The one good thing about this is the club has been left out of this. I have no information. It's
okay.
A confidential process. They have not even advised the club that there was a positive test. So we are completely in the dark on this. We only know what we read in the papers and what we hear in the electronic media. So I really can't give you any insight on that at all.
Okay, good to know. Gord Asch, still lots of star power, positives to look at in Milwaukee. Vice President, Assistant GM Gord Asch, thanks as always.
Thank you. Appreciate it.